Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to have some fun because a presidential debate is coming up later this week, if you're listening to this as I release it. And so we want to talk about presidential debates today. Right now in our country, the two major political parties, Republican and Democrat, they have scoured the nation. Over 300 million people have been interviewed, and they have found the top two candidates for president, one Republican and one Democrat. These are the two men who are the most wise, the most learned, the most articulate men we could come up with in a country of over 300 million. So we should be all excited to hear them debate one another with the vast knowledge that they have. They not only are wise and learned, but they are quite experienced. Both are quite aged, actually. And both have been president before. One is currently president, President Biden, and one has been president, President Trump. And so that's the best we could find. If you're a voter out there, we're hoping that you vote. And also, I would hope that you know who you're voting for already, because you've seen 4 years of evidence on the case of one candidate and 3+ years of evidence in the case of another candidate with regard to the way they govern and with regard to a variety of positions that they hold. So I hope you already know who you're voting for. But nevertheless, presidential debates sometimes sway people one way or the other. And so we want to talk about that today. I've got one of my favorite people on the planet with us today. His name is Derek Scheich. He is my son, and he is also a history teacher, has been a history teacher for 10 or 15 years or so now, and so knows quite a bit about presidential debates. Derek, say hi to the people.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Well, he's a pretty serious one today. I'm just kidding. All right. So we don't want to go back to Abe Lincoln. That's a little bit of a ways to go. But those debates were considered classic, Lincoln and Douglas debates. But we want to stay in the modern era. And so I would say the modern era would be the TV era, I suppose. So, Derek, tell us about how debates began in the TV era.
Yeah. So the first TV debate between presidential candidates took place in 1960 between JFK and Richard Nixon. Some historical context. So in 1951, Congress passed the 22nd Amendment, which limited the amount of times you could run. And so Dwight D. Eisenhower just was about to complete his two terms, and he was term limited. So you had 42-year-old JFK going up against 47-year-old Richard Nixon, who had served as the VP for 8 years for Eisenhower. And so
I didn't realize they were so close in age, actually.
Yeah. I think a lot of people thought Nixon was way older. I double checked on that too, but he's only 4 or 5 years older than JFK.
Wow.
But I think kind of a straight laced guy, you know, hair kind of slicked back. And I think people had seen him, just kind of saw him as maybe an older figure, but not much older than JFK. So what's interesting about the television aspect is, we could talk about this after the clip, but most folks, or there's no clip on it, but most people thought that JFK won the debate if they watched it on TV, but most folks who listened to it on the radio felt that Nixon won. And so it was JFK ends up winning the election because of, a lot of historians and presidential scholars think, because of the television aspect.
So that really made just the presentation made a big difference for JFK. And that was a close election. We could maybe deal with that in another podcast, but that election was so close. A lot of people feel that it was stolen by the Chicago machine and that really Nixon had won. And so that's been debated ever since. And of course, there's no way to ever figure that out, actually, the truth of all that. But nevertheless, Nixon conceded pretty quickly, even though he, I think, believed he had won. So
yeah, I don't know, 120,000 votes difference.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's ever been any other elections where the losing candidate thought they won. No, I think there have been. But so that's not a new thing. Anyway, well, so let me play some just some short clips of some, and I'll try to do these in historical order. We'll see if I succeed or not. But play some clips of some key moments in presidential debates, little clips, 30-second clips or whatever, and we can comment on them together. So here goes the first one.
Catastrophic health insurance, so that if a family is threatened with being wiped out economically because of a very high medical bill, then the insurance would help pay for it. These are the kind of elements of a national health insurance important to the American people. Governor Reagan, again, typically is against such a proposal.
Governor, there you go again. When I opposed Medicare.
All right, then he goes into an explanation. So that's Reagan and Carter. Tell us about that line, there you go again.
Yeah, so Carter's the incumbent. He had been president in election 76, had a lot of issues in that term, but runs for re-election against Reagan, who, again, was the governor of California. He'd been an actor, he'd been a spokesperson, and people may or may not know that his nickname was the Great Communicator, right? And so with Carter goes on a pretty long, that was the tail end of a pretty long spiel, just kind of detailing some of the things that he felt Governor Reagan, you know, was lacking or you know, wasn't following through with. And just with that one line there, oh, there you go again, he just completely disarms him. And again, a lot of people just felt that Reagan did such a great job in that debate because of just little lines like that and his reactions. He looked very calm and composed on stage.
Yeah, and I love how Reagan is always, no matter what the topic, he's always has this smile. And he makes you feel good. Makes you feel like, oh, I like that guy, even if you disagree with him vehemently. However, he was like hated. I don't know if he's hated as much as Trump is hated, but he was hated by the left in our country, and yet he's always smiling. And so it's kind of which drove them crazy. So
the happy warrior, I guess.
Is that what he's called, the happy warrior?
Yeah. No, it's just kind of a phrase that some people use.
Yeah. Well, I think this next one is also a Reagan clip as well. Let's take a look.
You are the oldest president in history, and some of your staff say you were tired after your most recent encounter with Mr. Mondale. I recall yet that President Kennedy had to go for days on end with very little sleep during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Is there any doubt in your mind that you would be able to function in such circumstances?
Not at all. Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also, I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
All right, there you go. What do you think?
Yeah, again, it's just one of those lines that Reagan used to completely diffuse and kind of deflect something that was a strong point that the opposition was trying to make. So at the time, he was 73, which, again, compared to the candidates we have in this election, is like a spring chicken. I think President Trump's 78 and President Biden's 81 or 82. So, but Reagan was running for his second term against Walter Mondale. Mondale was 57, I believe, at the time. And so they were trying to make Reagan's age an issue. And again, he just pulls that line out. I'm not going to use my opponent's age and inexperience against him for political purposes. And for the folks who couldn't see the clip, because maybe you're listening on Spotify or streaming app of some sort, we've talked about this before, but the fact that Mondale cracks a smile and laughs along with it, with the crowd, I think just really you know, makes that a very memorable moment.
Right, right. And can you imagine that happening in the political climate today, where the opponent laughs at the joke of his opponent? I can't imagine either Trump or Biden laughing at anything the other person does, unless it's in a mocking kind of way. But there, Mondale laughs. So while you yearn for those days when even though you disagreed, we could kind of at least laugh at each other's jokes, you know?
Yeah, I can't think of a candidate or a debate that would laugh along like that.
Right, right. So, but that's Mondale just cracks right up. So, yeah. Here's one where there's not laughter, but the candidate, in this case, I think it's Michael Dukakis, is very, very serious in his answer to the question, and that gets him in some trouble. Let's take a look.
Respond. Governor, if Kitty Dukakis were raped and murdered, would you favor an irrevocable death penalty for the killer?
No, I don't, Bernard, and I think you know that I've opposed the death penalty during all of my life. I don't see any evidence that it's a deterrent, and I think there are better and more effective ways to deal with violent crime.
Oh, there you go. What do you think?
That comment, along with maybe, again, if folks want to look into it more, there's a very infamous photo slash video of Michael Dukakis driving a tank at an army base, I think, which kind of got lampooned pretty heavily. But that comment right there really lost in a lot of political historians' minds, a lot of women's, the female vote. So again, it was kind of tough. The audio was a little low, but Bernard Shaw, who is a legendary, reporter and journalist, issues that question regarding capital punishment. And he asks him if, you know, again, if your wife was raped and murdered, would you consider capital punishment? And I mean, that's a serious question, but the fact that he gave such a quick response, and the word that's used a lot is he gave a cold response. He didn't wrestle with it and say, you know, oh, well, that's a tough one, or, oh, I'd be tempted to. He just was like, nope, I wouldn't use it. I wouldn't consider it at all. And that really, I think, shocked a lot of people at home.
It really seemed like the question almost didn't even register with him. Like, if somebody's proposing if your wife is raped or murdered, you're like, okay, like that's kind of out of bounds. I mean, I don't want to think about that with my wife. Like, there could be something he could have said that would have made him more of a human being at that point. That's
well, if you watch the clip as well further, which I've watched the clip a couple times, his answer as well, he just kind of pivots away. I believe if I recall correctly, he starts just talking about reform in terms of the judicial system reform. And doesn't even really address the question that was posed to him. So again, that was a situation where that response and the manner in which he gave it really, I think, turned a lot of people off.
So. Right. All right. So here's one. This is a vice presidential debate, but I couldn't resist because I think the line is just a classic line. This is Dan Quayle and Lloyd Bentsen. And again, a big age difference in the candidates. Lloyd Bentsen is much older. Dan Quayle is much younger. But this is vice president, but it's a classic line. Let's take a look.
It's experience. I have far more experience than many others that sought the office of vice president this country. I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency. I will be prepared to deal with the people in the Bush administration if that unfortunate event would ever occur.
Senator Bentsen.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Oh, man. Go ahead, comment on that one.
I mean, it's kind of funny seeing the clip because you see this sheepish grin by Lloyd Bentsen, Senator Bentsen. And he's almost like he can't believe his luck. That Quayle has teed that one
up. He's licking his chops.
Yeah. So Bentsen was a long-term senator from Texas, and he was running with Dukakis in 88. Dukakis was from Massachusetts. So it was very similar to JFK from being from Massachusetts and LBJ being from Texas, kind of balancing out that geographical ticket. But Dan Quayle at the time, I believe, was 41. So he was pretty young. But he was trying to make the comparison between him and, you know, one of the most revered politicians and political families in the United States history. And big mistake. And, what's interesting as well is going back to sticking with Dukakis and then with Dan Quayle, you know, people kind of maybe in it's a little harsh. They kind of view them as being, political losers, because they got caught by these one-liners.
Right.
Well, I mean, Dukakis was the longest serving governor in Massachusetts history. Right. Quayle was, he goes on to be vice president. You know, Bush wins, George Herbert Walker Bush and Dan Quayle win the 1988 election. You look at, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, that's obviously very successful, but they go down in history as, again, being the victims of just these incredible one-liners from the Republican and then the Democrat president and vice presidential candidates. So it's pretty incredible how those things stick with people.
Yeah. And you see in that clip too, you see as soon as Quayle, the camera angles are just terrible. But as soon as Benson starts saying, I served with Jack Kennedy, you see Quayle's face kind of go,
it doesn't even make eye contact.
I have stepped in this big time. Oh my gosh. It's just, now you wouldn't hear, if you're just listening, like you said, with the Kennedy Nixon debate, if you're just listening on radio, you wouldn't necessarily see that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but wow, on television. Oh my goodness. What a clip. Mm-hmm. That's gotta be, jeez. Anyway, all right. Well, let's do one more, shall we? This one is actually, it's not really a verbal one, kind of. It's a more of a, well, it's between Bush and Gore. And we'll explain it for those who are not watching in a second, but let's take a watch for those who are watching on YouTube.
It's not only what's your philosophy and what's your position on issues, but can you get things done? And I believe I can.
All right. What about the Daniel Norwood bill?
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting because the 2000 election was probably the first election that I, you know, was very cognizant of and remember vividly. And I mean, obviously, it was a historical election going to the Supreme Court with Florida, the dimple chads, hanging chads. No one knew what a chad was prior to that. The butterfly ballot, all of these things associated with that election. But again, for those who can't see, it's so usually there's three presidential debates. That's usually what's agreed upon. Two, where you're standing at a podium, and then one is kind of a town hall style where people sit on a stool, that the candidates sit on a stool and kind of walk around and work the crowd a little bit. So that's what this one is. But George W. Bush was the governor of Texas, and he was running for his first term against Al Gore, who was the two-term vice president under former President Clinton. And as George W. Bush is giving his response, Al Gore walks over to him. He gets up off his chair and walks over and gets pretty close inside of his personal space, I would say. And, you know, most people think it was to try to kind of intimidate and maybe distract George Bush a little bit. And again, you can't see it because it wasn't verbal, but George Bush kind of gives him a head nod like, hey, like, what are you doing? And so it's just a very funny exchange. But actually, this is where in 2000, after that debate, is where the debate rules kind of become a lot more clear cut and codified.
Really?
That is where. And so in this debate coming up between President Trump and President Biden, they agreed to things like microphones being turned off and, mm-hmm. you know, just like this whole bevy of rules and stipulations during the debate. So we'll see how that works because this is the first time some of those rules have been put into place. But the 2000 election was the one where debate rules really started to get very, very official and you know, mandated. So because of that.
Cool. Well, Derek, it's fun talking to you always, but especially today on the podcast. So thanks for being with us. We look forward to seeing what kind of gaffes might happen on Thursday night. Who might do what that we can laugh about afterwards, which is kind of sad that we're laughing about it because it is our country and it is a gift of God to us to be able to vote and all that. But we may as well have some fun with it. So thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And we wish you God's blessings as you continue to teach history and mold young skulls full of mush to know what they should know about the history of our country. So thanks for being here.
Doing my best. Thank you for having me.
All righty. All right. Well, that's what we got for you today. I hope it's been kind of enjoyable walk through memory lane there for some of you and maybe some new stuff for some of you. We want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211 @gmail.com. Let us know what you think of this podcast or what other topics you'd like us to be talking about, other guests you'd like us to have on. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.